You're listening to the 4130 Show. This is South Granville Church's After Church podcast, where we take a look at the sermon passage in more depth and think about how we can apply it during the week. Welcome, everybody, to the 4130 Show. My name is AJ Gretz. I'm lead pastor here at South Granville Church in Granville, Michigan. With me, as always, my friend and co-host, the guy... No, I was going to come up with something clever.
With a tie? What rhymes
with pod?
Pod?
The
I don't know.
The bod on the pod.
I'm not sure if that's a compliment or not. Yeah. Since nobody can see me right now, It's a compliment. We're going to go with that.
Yeah. Also here, our first ever return guest, Kelly Vogel.
Hey, thanks for having me back.
Yeah, thanks for coming back. Kelly, you and your family are getting ready to go on a mission trip to Rehoboth, New Mexico.
We are.
Could you talk a little bit about what the appeal of the trip is and what you guys are going to be doing while you're there?
Sure. Well, Ben's obviously going to know more than me since he went the last time. My kids are kind of excited about the van, not the ride part, but, you know, we've been talking about this monster van that we get to take that even has like overhead compartments for your luggage. I think we're just excited to get into some sunshine. It doesn't matter the temperature while we're out there. And we're excited to use our gifts to serve God and hike. I asked all the kids what they were excited about, and hiking up the mountains was what they came up with. So
yeah, it's pretty different than Michigan.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
it's like the exact opposite in a lot of ways.
Right.
Yeah, and it's also funny to me that your kids are excited about riding in a van when you guys own maybe the coolest van.
We do,
certainly in the church.
We call it the party bus. But I was just telling Ben that one of the kids stepped out onto the runner board and the whole thing fell off and left a whole lot of rust in the church parking lot. So it's really not as cool as you think it is.
Yeah. What year is that thing?
03, I think.
Okay. Yeah, because they definitely don't make vans with curtains in the windows.
No. And it has the seat that goes down into the bed and running party lights in the back of the bus. So we told the boys they can never take it on a date.
Ben, are you going on the trip as well?
Yep, I am.
What are you looking forward to or what are you excited about?
We made some pretty good connections back there in Rehoboth. So I think a few of us are excited to get back to see some of those people, and hopefully they remember us. We certainly remember them. One of the great things about mission trips is you come back with a story to share. And almost every single time, you see God work in mysterious ways and miraculous ways while you're there. So I'm really looking forward to seeing what God has in store for us with some new people coming along this year and sharing those experiences with people when we get back.
Ben, what can people do if they want to support the trip or even give financially to help?
Well, we actually have a dinner coming up this Wednesday, February 12th. Stop in at church at, I think it starts about 6 o'clock, And there'll be a donation box there. We are looking to fill up the rest of the funds that we need. We're trying to raise about $8,000, and we're about $2,000 short of that. So feel free to come in Wednesday for a great dinner. The youth is actually going to be serving that night. And drop a few bucks in the bin and help us out. There's also a few different ways to give to this trip. If you'd like to find out more, just email the office@southgranvillechurch.org, and somebody will get back with you ASAP with some help.
The other thing is we just want to be inviting you to be praying for both the people who are going to be going on the trip as well as people who we'll be interacting with in New Mexico. It's a great opportunity, and I think all of us have had, you know, experiences on mission trips and stuff that we will always remember and have kind of shaped the way we think about our faith and who we are. So it's a really powerful time. It's a really wonderful time, and we're excited about this opportunity. So this week, we looked at the Tower of Babel story in Genesis 11, which kind of marks the end of the first major section in Genesis. Chapters 1 through 11 kind of tell a prehistory story. And then this next week, we're going to move into Abraham and his family and see how God begins making covenant promises to the people who will become Israel. But this week, the story weaves these two themes that we've seen together, that God wants relationship with people and that people are sinful and their sin creates an obstacle to relationship. So the descendants of Noah are clustered together. They have moved east, which in Genesis is kind of a symbol of moving away from God's presence. And they decide that they want to build a city and a tower, both to make a name for themselves and because they're afraid of what's going to happen if they don't. They're afraid that God is going to scatter them onto the ends of the earth. Now, if you remember last week, we saw that Noah and his family are kind of like a new Adam and Eve, and that God wants them to be fruitful and multiply and spread throughout the earth. So the people in Babel are resisting what God wills for them. And they decide that they want to build this tower to create security for themselves and kind of make a life for themselves apart from relationship with God. So God challenges them, and he kind of comes down and sees what they're doing, and he ends up confusing their language so that they scatter. And one of the things that's interesting is that God doesn't just destroy the tower. He instead kind of creates these conditions where people have to become dependent on him again. They get scattered and they are once again drawn back into a relationship with him the way that they're meant to always live it. So when you guys listen to the story this week, I'm curious, if you put yourselves in the position of the people who are living in Babel, you know, they grew up knowing what happened with Noah. They knew the call that God had put on him and his descendants to kind of spread out over the earth, and yet they're resistant. And I'm just curious, if you put yourself in their position, what do you think is motivating that? You know, we know sin is kind of the answer, but specifically, what are some of the fears or the impulses? What's keeping the people together instead of doing what God wants them to do, do you think?
I think you touched on a key word there, fear. I think a lot of people have fear of the unknown, and they feel safe in the known. So if you were to relate this back to today, the known is sort of, you know, put in your 40 plus hours at work and maybe do some extra because you know if you keep doing these things, you'll get noticed. The unknown is, what if I make my family a priority? I never get the promotion. Maybe I get laid off first because they see I'm not working hard enough. But you're sort of rescheduling your priorities a little bit so that you've got that unknown. But the known would be, stick to it, work hard, try to do it myself.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot of people, especially once you have kids and you get settled into a career, that you kind of start to stick to what you know or what feels comfortable. And even if you have a sense that God is calling you to step out in some way, whether that's a small thing like a volunteer thing, or maybe it's a career change or a move or something, you know, that impulse to stick with what you know, I think is really strong. And, you know, it kind of forms the bridge for us reading the passage today that like, we're not tempted to do the exact same thing, but we kind of are when you think about it that way.
Especially when you can see progress in a direction, you can feel like you can trust it a little bit more. Maybe that's what they were doing with this building. Maybe they were like, oh yeah, you know, every 10 weeks it gets bigger and bigger and we can see that and we can see progress and we're doing something, versus just going out there and going out on your own, trusting just in God to provide for you.
Yeah, that's a great point. Like you can see it and you're like, it's working. It's bigger, it's stronger. Versus, yeah, moving somewhere where you don't know anybody, you don't know the land, you got to kind of start over. So Kelly, I'm going to put you on the spot for a minute as the guest. When we talked about it on Sunday, we tried to make this parallel to say we metaphorically build towers all the time and we seek security in the known or what feels safe or familiar to us, even if it's totally different than what God wants for us. So are you willing to share, was there something that you were thinking about as you kind of thought about this passage and how it applies to your own life, some area that you're building those towers for security or stability?
Right, right. Well, first of all, did you notice that everybody in my row was taking notes?
That's great.
I told my whole family that they all had to take notes, and that was going to be our Sunday lunch discussion was the sermon.
Perfect.
So I even took my notes with me and what the kids wrote down, so some of it is pretty funny. But one thing that I was thinking of, and I was trying to make it very personal, and a lot of times when you get that application, I often think of other people it would benefit, and not myself. But for me, my tower that I build so often, and God has to knock me down so many times, is feeling that I can do it best first. So if a kid gets sick, instead of praying about it and what should I do, I mean, sure, I do that too, but I make all the phone calls, right? And I find this doctor, and then we try this, and we'll try this therapy, and we'll try this. And then when nothing else works, then I'm like, okay, Lord, you obviously have got a different answer for me. What's it going to be?
Yeah.
So.
No, I think that's very, very common, that you're trying to control the situation or saying like, yeah, I know best. I can do it. I can fix it.
Yep.
And only when you're like totally humbled, that's when you're like, okay, I guess I should get God involved.
Yes. Yep. And we even had that with one of my kiddos having a lot of anxiety problems. And I tried everything I could possibly think of. And somebody suggested a certain medication. So I got my doctor on board and we did that. And it turned out to be so much worse and had every problem you could have on a medication that I was like, what in the world? And I think that was kind of our pivotal moment of God knocking us down and, okay, we need to do something else, but okay, Lord, what is it going to be? Because obviously my way is not working. So,
right.
Yeah.
And if you're willing to share, you are, according to the Enneagram, a type one. Is that right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you and I share a lot of overlap. Mm-hmm. I'm either a 1-2 or a 2-1, but they're pretty much the same.
Right.
So how do you see that coming out in those tendencies as well?
Oh, needing to be in charge all the time, which I think drives my family a little crazy because I nitpick on all these things. If you don't do it my way, just don't even bother. So,
yeah. So, yeah, for people who aren't familiar, there's 9 types according to the Enneagram. You might put various levels of stock in it, but it's like a personality assessment. And type one is, quote unquote, the perfectionist, right? So trying to, execute things well, keeping things in good order. And that lie that, you know, you can be tempted to believe is that I can do this right and I'm sufficient on my own.
And which, only I can do it right.
Yeah, well, on that too. Ben, how about for you? What were you thinking about?
I do have some of those tendencies to feel like I can just do it myself. And a lot of times I pull on my experience. So maybe I'm like one of those engineers building the tower. It was like, okay, we've built the first 4 floors. Let's keep going. I know exactly how to do this. Just recently, we had a big issue with the brakes on my car. It turned out to be a lot more than what I thought it was going to be. And I thought all along, you know, I could just keep fixing this myself and fixing it myself. And it turned into like, I don't know, 5 days of torture trying to get bolts off. And, you know, I much rather would have just given it to a mechanic. So there's a lot of times that I probably dig myself into a hole thinking I can do it best.
Yeah, the like self-reliance and the impulse, like Kelly said, to do it because I'm going to do it right and I'm going to do it better, you know, or, you know, faster, cheaper, stronger, whatever it is that's important to you, but I'm going to be the one to do it right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Anna and I were talking about this last night, actually. We're in an interesting phase. We have had student debt forever. And just over the summer when we sold our house and took this position, that's finally all gone. You know, we're very grateful. South Granville is very generous with us. And so we are in a very different state of life than we've really been in before. And we've experienced kind of this flip-flop where Anna used to be the one who worried about money and specifically not having enough. And then I was kind of like, there's no money. Who cares? You know, it's fine. And now we've kind of flipped. And now that we're like actually thinking about a retirement account and, you know, maintaining emergency savings, things that for a while had been kind of out of reach for us. Now I'm the one who is, I think, putting too much stock in those things sometimes or looking for security from those things. And I can see how that can sometimes be a barrier to being generous or being willing to say yes to certain things because it's like, oh, but the number in the account will be lower than it's supposed to be, you know, because it's in my head, right? Mm-hmm. That like security equals a certain number or a certain level of stability when, you know, in reality, we're all a diagnosis away from having those things wiped out anyway. Right. So the challenge is to continue to push for generosity and push forward with our values without just falling into that kind of like, you know, security mindset with your resources.
It's hard not to get so caught up in yourselves with anything.
Right, but, right. And it's, you know, it's a sensitive thing and different people are going to draw that line in different places, I think. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we have always tried to be generous with what we've had. And it's interesting how having more, I found to be more, it's become harder than it was when we had, you know, maybe $1,000 to our name and, you know, a 100-year-old apartment and all that kind of stuff.
So these people in Babel or Babel, whichever you prefer, were they necessarily sinning all the time or was it their sinful nature that was getting them into trouble?
I'm sure there were people doing things, you know, that were not inherently sinful day to day, but their collective decision and their kind of like the trajectory of their life was, you know, not in line with God's will, right? So I remember a guy in seminary who was, I think he was a mechanic before he went to school. So he was second career. And I remember him saying he was just like fighting with God for multiple years because he felt like God wanted him to do this and had put a call on him and he did not want to. He liked being a mechanic. Everything was good, you know. So was he like sinning day to day as a mechanic? Like, no, you know, I'm sure he was a nice guy and a good mechanic, but he was not in line with God's will for him.
Good answer.
That's why they pay me.
The medium bucks?
The medium dollars. So let's say you heard this amazing sermon yesterday. You are deeply convicted and you're recognizing that there's you know, a pattern where you're looking to something for security or you're trying to find stability in your life away from a relationship with God. So you're aware that this is an issue. What do you do? What's kind of the first step or what do you think God would have for somebody once they recognize that issue?
Well, I have a little story. When I was previous to having kids, I was a nanny and I also took on, so I had the four kids that I nannied for and then my girlfriend had a baby out of wedlock and I was also babysitting her little one. And being a single mom, she really struggled to pay me her wage that she agreed upon. And after a while, she had racked up about $1,000 of debt with me. And it was really hard because I felt so justified that I needed that money. But I just prayed and prayed about it and decided to just let it go and tell her we would start fresh now that she had a job, whatever. So I just canceled that debt. And in that time, I had also been paying off some student debt for a loan because I didn't go into a certain career. Thank you. Because I didn't go into a certain career, I had to pay back this loan. Mm-hmm. And so, and that was triple the amount of what this girl owed me. And so I made my first payment on that. And then when the second payment came due, I found out that somebody had anonymously paid off that loan. And so that was one of those letting go and letting God and doing what he asks you to do and knowing that, well, I didn't know, but when you look back onto it, that he just comes back and tenfold and takes care of you.
Sure. So, yeah. Yeah. Your baby step of faith is rewarded. And even if it doesn't go quite that way,
right,
you're going to experience a different level of peace of mind, I think. And regardless of the circumstances, but sometimes God does provide in a really dramatic way like that, which is always nice.
It is nice. And it doesn't always go that way. I mean, so what do you do when you pray and pray and pray for an answer and you feel like you're getting no answer whatsoever and still to have that faith and that trust that it's all going to work out for his glory? But that makes it a little trickier.
It does. And we, I think, in our culture have this aversion to any level of discomfort or suffering, you know.
Or waiting.
Yes, exactly. And so There is, I think, a level of just getting more comfortable being uncomfortable mm-hmm. and saying like, yeah, like we always hope that God provides and he will. But in the meantime, like sometimes our standards are not in the right place, you know, mm-hmm. or we expect or feel entitled to a certain level of comfort or, you know, I should be able to fill in the blank, have a TV this many inches big or drive this car, or I should be able to go on that vacation when, you know, it's like, that's not in the Bible, right. You know, that's cultural.
Right. But it's also following God's will. So I had a friend in college who was in the mission program and knew she was going to be a missionary. And the whole time it was, I will go anywhere, Lord, but don't send me to China. Where do you think she ended up? Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when you follow God's leading, you do the things and you go to the places that you don't really want to.
Yeah.
So my 8-year-old, her notes, she had 2 notes for the whole sermon. But the best one was, instead of doing what we want to do, we should go to God or we will get a punishment.
Ouch.
Yeah, right. And sometimes the punishment is just being uncomfortable, right? In the wrong sense of the word. Like, you know, your life is out of sync. You know, it's not fitting together. You're trying to cram the square peg into the wrong hole and you know it's not working. And that's God saying, pick a different peg, you know?
Yeah, I wonder if that has to do with God's mercy. He's giving us mercy, but we're not ready to accept the grace because we're not in line yet.
Yeah, well, I think that's true.
Well, I know my 15-year-old said, he's been taking notes since the very start of the sermon series. Nice. And he said at every one at the top, he ends up writing relationship, that every time you bring up in the sermons that it's our relationship with God that is the most important. So
yeah, that's awesome, because that is very much the theme of Genesis.
Right.
And to Ben's point, that there is this level of mercy that, like, I will let you struggle and I will let you be unhappy and I won't let these things work out because I'm trying to get your attention and right. I'm trying to point you back to me.
And trusting
this that, is God talking
about right. me. But yeah. Trusting that God's plan is way better than ours.
Yep. Yep. Kelly, we're glad to have you again on the podcast. Before we go, just kind of curious, is there anything that you've experienced in the last couple of months that you want to recommend to people? So a book, music,
oh my word.
A restaurant in Grand Rapids, just something that you're like, this is awesome, you should check it out.
Well, this is totally nerdy, and shout out to Gabe for this. So when you had him on and you were talking about guilty pleasures, I mean, besides chocolate and eating ice cream out of the carton when my kids aren't looking. Mm-hmm. I was looking for a movie to watch while I was on the treadmill, and it can't be like one of those little girly drama movies. Like, I need an action movie because then I walk faster.
Sure. Right?
And so I was watching a superhero movie and decided I actually liked it. So then I had to go back and watch all of the superhero movies. So I would recommend just a general, try something you don't think you will like, because I was so anti all of that
okay.
for my whole life that I refused to read any comic books or have anything to do with any of them. And now my kids love having conversations with me because I know what they're talking yeah. about.
So. what was the gateway movie then?
Thor. Remember?
Okay, the
yeah.
first one?
Yeah, because it happened to be on Amazon Prime. Mm-hmm. So I watched that one and then looked them up and went back in chronological order to start watching all of them, and I'm partway through. But they're good companions for running on the treadmill.
That's the one that is like very Shakespearean, right? Like
right.
they're yes. like in Asgard.
Ah, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's kind of a funny movie. Like there's a weird mixture of things.
Yeah.
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 Ben, anything you are wanting to recommend to people that they should check out?
Did you know if you buy your brake pads at AutoZone, they are warranted for life?
Really?
Yep. You can go in there probably more than once a year and just swap them out. They'll give you a new set.
You're recommending people get in the zone?
I'm recommending. Get in the zone.
That's excellent.
Yeah,
that's good to know, though. I'm going to put in a plug for spin class, which is something I started doing this fall. And my impression is that it was always for moms in yoga pants, which is still kind of true. But there's a number of guys who go, to the Downtown Y for spin class. And especially in the winter, when it's hard to get outside or get motivated, sure. It's been really fun.
Here at the 4130 Show, we want to thank our special guest, Kelly Vogel. Thanks for stopping in again.
Thanks for having me again.
The door is always open to you or whoever else would like to join us here on the 4130 Show. The more the merrier, right, AJ? He's nodding. You can't see that. But why don't you tell us a few ways that people can share the podcast and what we're all about?
Yeah, it helps us if you get the word out using your social media pages. You can also get a link from Spotify or our website, southgranvillechurch.org, and you can email that to people. It helps us to share not only what we're talking about, but just kind of give people an insight into the church. If you know people who are looking for a church home, asking spiritual questions, we're hoping that this can be one tool that God uses to help point them in the right direction.
See you later.
And cut. Yep. So if you're listening to the podcast, go wash your dishes or clean your house. No reason to sit around and listen. Do something.
But I don't have any time. I don't have any time for jibber jabber.
Thanks, Mr. T. Oh, I pity the fool that listens to our podcast.